Imagine stepping into this really raw online forum, where you've got passionate debates, really sharp wit, and just completely unfiltered opinions clashing.
Yeah, it's quite a scene.
So today we're taking you on a deep dive into exactly that kind of place. It's a single huge forum thread, and it gives this, well, fascinating but also pretty raw look into digital communities. Our mission basically is to navigate this massive discussion board. We want to pull out the key themes, look at how people are communicating, the patterns there,
Right, trying to get a handle on the dynamic.
to show you the unique dynamics that shape this kind of online culture and maybe how these niche discussions can sometimes, echo bigger societal stuff. Okay, let's unpack this.
All right, so welcome to this digital fandom arena.
Yeah.
Because the second you open this thread, you really feel the
And
intensity.
so, what's the vibe?
It's just incredibly rapid fire. You've got these quick numbered replies popping up constantly. Like you'll see number 135971, and then boom, number 135980, just seconds later. And images are right there in the mix, timestamps on everything. It really feels like a constant surge edition, as they might call it, of conversation happening live. Dates like June 19th, 20th, 21st, 2025, just flying by.
That speed is something else. What about the tone of the conversation? Because just scanning it, it seems to jump around like crazy.
It really does. You go from really casual remarks, maybe even jokes,
Yeah.
to incredibly harsh insults, like really aggressive stuff.
Yeah.
And emotional outbursts, too. It's volatile, but maybe that's part of the point. Like, it's a space for totally unfiltered expression, the kind you wouldn't see on, say, regular social media.
Because it's less moderated, maybe.
Exactly. So you get language that's, frankly, deeply offensive sometimes. Someone telling another user to cull yourself, for example, or using various slurs. But then right alongside that, you might see someone posting simply rude or complaining, "You deserve it for this shit." So it's this weird mix of like extreme aggression and maybe perceived vulnerability.
Huh. Interesting dynamic. So it's not just what they say, but very much how they say it.
Precisely. And that brings us to the language itself, the vocabulary.
Right, you mentioned cull instead of, the actual word.
Yeah, and there's more. The whole forum seems to run on this specialized slang, terms that look like they're deliberately misspelled or censored somehow.
Like what?
Well, you see semiroffing used constantly as a replacement for a common curse word.
Ah, okay. Like the cartoon.
Maybe. Or maybe just a stand-in. Then there are others like adich, diap, trickster, biznasty, and even just slightly altered words like women spelled with two W's.
Strange. Why do you think they do that?
Well, it really functions as an in-group signal. You know,
Yeah.
if you know the slang, you're part of the club. It builds this shared understanding, maybe makes it harder for outsiders to just jump in, creates community identity through language.
It's like their own dialect, almost.
Kind of, yeah. And that extends beyond just words.
Yeah.
Memes and inside jokes are huge.
Right. Images, short phrases that probably mean nothing if you're not in the loop.
Exactly. They function as communication shortcuts, referencing shared history,
Yeah.
running gags within that specific community. Like you might see a post that just says Homestuck, followed by like epic boom sound effect.
Okay, I have no idea what that means.
Right. Or these recurring Snow White posts, Snow White 80, Snow White 81, or someone repeatedly asking, "Rose, Rose Lalonde." These are
Oh.
all deep cuts. You need the context of the media they're all obsessed with.
So speaking of the media, let's shift from the general vibe to the actual topics. What are they arguing about so intensely?
Well, a massive chunk of the discussion revolves around creative critiques and controversies, especially concerning really popular internet media. Think the webcomic Homestuck and the video game Undertale.
Ah, okay. Big online fandoms there.
Huge. And the debates about Homestuck are fierce. People arguing about its cultural impact, its creative choices. You see posts saying things like, "Homestuck, even at its peak, was nowhere near the cultural impact of Undertale Deltarune."
Ouch. So, what specific controversies come up, particularly around the people who made these things?
Oh, they really dig into it. With Homestuck, there's a lot about its development, especially the spin-off game Hive Swap.
Right, I remember hearing about that.
Yeah, and the perception among many users is that the creators either, quote, capitulated to the industry, or maybe they were just bad writers who didn't even have a proper written outline.
Harsh.
Very. And specific criticisms get leveled at the main creator, Andrew Hussey. They often refer to him as Hooey. Some posts claim his inner circle friends had too much influence.
Okay.
There's even talk about this figure, Mitchell, who supposedly wormed his way into Homestuck by domain squatting the URL and apparently tried to push a retcon in Transriska, which caused more drama.
Wow, okay. Lots of specific lore there. How does the discussion around Undertale and its follow-up Deltarune compare?
Well, Undertale Deltarune often gets held up as a big success story, you know, praise for its cultural impact.
I sense a but coming.
But yeah, opinions on its creator, Toby Fox, or Fobby Tox, as some call him, are really divided. Some defend his work as a pure passion project.
And others?
Others dismiss it, saying it feels like a somewhat cynical cash grab.
Interesting. Any other controversies mentioned around him or the games?
Yeah, the discussion gets wider. There are even these allegations linking game releases to politics. One user mentions a creator, possibly Toby Fox, possibly someone else, who supposedly threatened not to release Episode 3 if Kamala Harris didn't get elected.
Whoa, okay. That's specific.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just about Hussey or Fox. There's broader commentary about, like, Twitter vultures supposedly influencing other creative projects, like the game Skullgirls.
So a general distrust of online influence on creative work.
Seems like it. And this connects to another theme, what someone calls e-celeb worship. The idea that fan wikis, which maybe started out documenting the fictional worlds, end up focusing way too much on the creators themselves, on their personal myth-making.
Right, shifting focus from the art to the artist's persona.
Exactly. And if you zoom out a bit, there's this pervasive feeling, this lament, running through so many posts. It's about perceived wasted potential or absolute shameless creative bankruptcy in media they care about.
So it's not just dislike, it's disappointment.
Deep disappointment, yeah. It's like, because they're so invested as fans, any creative choice they disagree with feels like a massive letdown, almost a betrayal. It fuels this constant, intense critique. Like one user said, it leads to a hypervigilance of their limitations or flaws. They just pick everything apart.
Okay, so beyond the media critiques, this forum sounds like it touches on, well, other intense topics
too. Oh, absolutely. It's definitely not just about games and comics. It's a real hotbed for unfiltered social and political talk.
Like what kind of things?
Discussions get into really sensitive areas. Race, gender identity, even physical appearance. You see arguments like one user claiming I'm pale as a ghost versus another saying whiter than yours. And some really nasty derogatory terms being used, like fat brown tranoid or other slurs targeting trans people, often using terms like trunoid. There are even these weirdly specific threads, like one discussing African-American 2032 fashion.
Wow, okay. And maybe this is a good point to reiterate something.
Yeah, definitely. It's crucial for you listening to understand these views, these comments, they're from the source material. We're reporting on the fact that these discussions are happening in the thread.
Right. We're not endorsing them, not validating them. Our goal is just to show you the content of this online space, impartially.
Exactly. And that impartiality is just as important when we get to the politics, because the opinions there are strong.
I can imagine. What kind of political stuff comes up?
A real mix. You've got comments like, Trump must SMR Serking hang. Then you have posts about international affairs like WTF Russia is pro-Zionist.
So pretty strong geopolitical takes.
Very. There's a detailed post arguing that Zionism is a dangerous psychosis and it utterly pervades the U.S. government. And sentiments like death to Israel, inshallah.
Intense. And feelings about their own country.
Often negative. You see things like, I hate America, or comments about how the U.S. just launched another war of aggression in the Middle East.
Okay. And again, just to be crystal clear for everyone listening.
Yes. We're simply relaying the content we found in this thread. These are elements of the conversation happening there. We're not taking any sides on these political or social issues, just observing the discourse.
Got it. So the conversation also seems to zoom out sometimes to broader cultural criticism.
It does. Users comment on what they see as the state of modern internet culture. They mention things like analog how-wow.
Analog horror.
Yeah, analog horror. And watered-down YTPs, which are YouTube poops, those weird video remixes. And Fuzzin' Core, they sort of reflect on being part of the South Park, Adult Swim, and Newgrounds generation.
Huh. And how does this connect to politics, if at all?
Well, sometimes they draw these really interesting, maybe strange connections. For instance, there's a reaction to a video titled Therapist Explains the Clean Girl to Alt-Right Pipeline.
Okay, that title alone is something.
Right. And it apparently tries to link certain aesthetics, like the clean girl look, to political ideologies.
Mm-hmm.
This leads one user to sarcastically observe, not being fat, fascism.
Wow. So connecting personal aesthetics directly to extreme political labels.
Exactly. And there are other really charged, highly controversial ideas thrown around too, which again, we're just noting as part of the discussion. Things like references to Jewish marketing magic or this chilling idea of industrialize so you can cull demographics.
Jeez. Okay. So that really highlights how deep and sometimes dark the cultural and political commentary can get.
Definitely. It's all intertwined in this space.
So with all this intense critique, politics, and harsh language,
yeah,
what does it tell us about the people involved, the human element?
Well, you definitely see cycles of conflict playing out, lots of personal attacks, people firing back with accusations. And sometimes users even acknowledge it. They talk about having pity parties.
Like they're aware of the drama cycles.
Seems like it. It's almost performative sometimes. Users seem to explicitly acknowledge their roles in these fights. You see comments like, "I'm sure nothing bad will happen," said sarcastically, or someone almost inviting attack, saying, "Viciously degrade and bully me more."
Huh. That's a fascinatingly self-aware, in a way, like they know they're putting on a show.
Perhaps. And that brings up the whole idea of online identity here. How people perceive each other is really key. There's a lot of projection happening, assigning motives or character traits to basically anonymous users.
Right. Like calling someone a simmermurfing psychopath.
Exactly. Or accusing someone you're projecting and it's really pathetic and disturbing. The default stance seems pretty adversarial a lot of the time.
So why do they stick around if it's so aggressive and, as one user put it, awful?
That's the paradox, isn't it?
Yeah.
People complain constantly. One post literally says, "This site is MMERF. Awful. Call yourself."
Yet they stay.
Yet they stay. Someone else asks, "Why do you come here?" And the answer given is revealing. Because this is actually one of the only image boards where you're allowed to have a conversation about Homestuck.
Ah. So the niche community aspect trumps the toxicity? Or maybe the toxicity is part of the draw for that niche?
Could be either or both. It seems like for some, enduring the awful parts is just the price you pay to talk about specific things you can't discuss elsewhere, or at least not in the same way.
And amidst all that conflict, do you ever see moments where they step back and reflect on it?
Occasionally, yes. Moments of surprising self-awareness pop up. Users might clarify things, like me and Lucas are just fooling around, suggesting some conflict isn't serious, or dismissing it all as goofs and gaffes.
So acknowledging the performance aspect again.
Right. But even that self-awareness is often tinged with a sense of maybe futility. Like one user muses, "I don't know if I can get legitimately angry at him anymore. But being civil doesn't seem to do much of anything." It's like they're trapped in the dynamic.
Wow. Okay. So we've really journeyed through a pretty complex online world here. From the media critiques, the creator drama, the intense social and political talk, right down to the often abrasive but undeniably passionate interactions.
Yeah, what really stands out is just the raw, unfiltered energy.
Yeah.
It's messy, it's confrontational, but it's undeniably alive.
And this whole deep dive, I think it shows how these online spaces aren't just for fans talking about stuff they like. They're arenas for really intense personal expression, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And okay. Social commentary and developing these unique ways of communicating digitally, all while grappling with big issues, creative integrity, identity, social friction.
So as you, our listener, reflect on all this, maybe consider this. What does this kind of space, unmoderated, highly personal, often argumentative, tell us about maybe a fundamental human need for community?
Yeah, even if that community is built on fierce debate or sometimes just outright hostility.
And how do we, whether we're participating or just observing, figure out what's genuine engagement versus what's just performance?
That's a tough one. And what does that blurring line mean for how we understand communication, maybe even truth, and this digital age we're all navigating? Something to think about.